This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We are your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying Co-Conspirator from High Desert Sauce Company and Queen Majesty's Scotch Bonnet and Ginger Hot Sauce. Let's heat up. Welcome back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. Today, we are trying two sauces that are both, the brands are both hot sauce alums. We are trying the Co-Conspirator by High Desert Sauce Company, and we're trying Queen Majesty's Scotch Bonnet and Ginger Hot Sauce. So both of these Hot Ones alums, and we have a few sauces from each, so we kind of were, we were definitely excited to get back into these sauces that we've spoke highly of before. It's funny because the Co-Conspirator, that's got jalapeno, it's got, you know, pineapple in it. There's another Queen Majesty that also has a jalapeno tequila lime, and I didn't want to do jalapeno versus jalapeno.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this one, these pair well together as far as varied experiences for the episode. But yeah, we tried red habanero and black coffee from Queen Majesty just a few weeks ago, which I love putting on everything. I've been making it into, you know, my pizza kind of crust dipping sauce. When my kids don't want their crust, I'm excited. And then mixing it in with like a sour cream for the morning breakfast burrito.
Yeah.
And then for Zach's High Desert Sauce Company, we've done the teacot masala and we did the ghost of saffron.
So I have his black label
you
masala.
Do. Yep.
That sauce is for men. That sauce is hot.
I would.
And that's the second to hottest in the black label box.
Yeah.
So that first, like, I can eat it, obviously, in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
It's toasty.
We did the hotter than it. The only one we haven't done of his that I've gotten is the hotter than adobo. And I don't know how much hotter or how much hotter your, because I think you have an adobo one in that collection as well.
I think it might be the hottest one.
Yeah.
And I love adobo too. Yeah. So
that'll be a fun treat. One.
Yeah, they're really good, but my gosh, is that one hot.
That was the other thing is I looked at the sauces and I said, well, we don't want to do two jalapeno sauces. Well, let's do the other ones. Then I'm like, well, I don't want to do two super scorchers this morning. I want to kind of alternate one more milder, one more hot. So those are the sauces we're going to be trying. Also, I believe we're coming up on the Tennessee Hot Sauce Festival coming up for the Steve Seabury event, which we will not be attending, but it's the first annual. We talked to Eddie from Stanky Sauce on last week's episode, and he was talking about his travel down there where you can still get their Pumpkin Spice Ghost hot sauce. They are bringing a box down there to sell exclusively at that show. So there is some fun exclusive limited edition sauces, I'm sure, from more vendors, but that one specifically we talked about last week. But before we get into trying these sauces, before we get into kind of tasting and start our morning off with a belly full of pepper and spice, we have a couple of games. You've had some time off to really hone in on your skills on this.
I have reclused.
We are recording this
episode. So hard.
We are recording this episode the day after the start of the NBA season. And so as is tradition, we're doing the game where I'm going to name a person. You're going to tell me if this is a hot sauce maker or if this is an NBA player.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Mullen.
Ah, I've heard that one. Dang.
Because you love hot sauce.
Chris Mullen. Chris Mullen. I've 100% heard it.
Typically, people do whisper his name.
Chris Mullen. Sorry, did I do that out loud?
Chris Mullen.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's weird. I feel like I've heard that. The
stakes have never been higher.
I feel like I've heard that in the hot sauce realm, but I'm going to go with NBA.
So your instincts are correct. He is a Hall of Fame basketball player. He was part of the legendary Golden State Warrior team known as Run TMC, if you're familiar with that.
It's a spinoff of Run DMC. I understand that.
Yeah, you understand that reference. He was the C of Run TMC.
Okay.
The first one, I'll give you these guys. The first
what,
one.
What year was that?
It was in the 80s.
Okay.
Late 80s. But it was Tim Hardaway, giving you that one right there, Mitch Richmond, and okay. Chris Mullin.
Okay.
Run TMC.
I don't know the other ones.
Tim Hardaway is a surprising one because he, I feel like, was around. I mean, they're all stars and good in their own right. But Tim Hardaway would have been the one I would have thought you knew more than any of the three. Mm. So, but yeah, Hall of Fame, Golden State, played for Indiana, is the whitest player to ever play with a blonde, high fade, flat top.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so whiter than Larry?
He's up there.
One of my favorite lines in any movie is Bill Murray talking about Larry Bird in Space Jam.
Yeah.
He's like, Larry's not white. Larry is clear.
I mean.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, did he just, he must have like hit the NBA straight out of the Army with that cut.
I don't think he was an Army guy.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty
sure. He looks like a general that was like, you know what? I'm tall enough. I'm going to go for it.
He's from New York. Went to Xavierian in Brooklyn in high school. St. John's. So he stayed New York through okay. and through and then went to Golden State. Yep, late 80s. And then...
Leading scorer, huh?
On that team, yeah. He was the leading scorer for that specific team. I didn't know if it was going to be him or Mitch Richmond, but Mitch, more underrated scorer. But yeah, so Chris Mullin. There you go. The other game that we play is a game about your alternative options to Subway. We've said every episode that we've done this game that there are 50 places you would prefer to go instead of Subway. And so we're trying to make that list. So what would be your alternative to Subway?
So this is, it's going to sound weird for sure.
Perfect.
The place is called Starbucks. I think their sous vide egg bites are fantastic. Have you ever had them?
I have. I always feel like I'm paying too much for them, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's expensive. Everything there. I don't regularly frequent there because of the price.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have a chorizo breakfast sandwich, which was friggin' awesome. And then every time I go there, I get the double smoked bacon and Gouda breakfast sandwich.
That sounds good.
Really fantastic food. Way too expensive. So we only go there usually on gift cards. Or if we're just feeling like, you know, when just pumpkin spice season hits you and you're like, I must go wait in a 30-minute line at a freaking drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Rather do that than McDonald's. I mean, in Subway. I mean, McDonald's is too. The next game. I'm just, the one we go to, there's a McDonald's right next to it. So it's like, we'll go snag some hash browns.
Which one?
Then we'll hash get
browns,
some.
The hash browns are good. I do love a good crispy hash brown, fast food hash brown. Taco John's has popped up recently, and they have the little medallion rounds of hash brown. I like those. Yet. It's the same that you get from like Burger King, but it's better than Burger King. But I also like Sonic's Tater Tots. Those are my potato favorites, just in case anyone was wondering.
It's funny, on the way here this morning, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go get the Burger King poppers, the jalapeno poppers.
Yeah.
I'm going to get those today, I think, which I don't do lunch, but sometimes it just strikes me. Why? They're so good.
They're good, but it's just Burger King is always a flip of the coin for me.
It is.
Where it's like, I'm not, like most fast food, you're not going to feel great about yourself after.
Yeah.
But that one, it's like, I'm not even questioning it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember their original poppers, their original jalapeno poppers?
I don't know if I know the difference between.
Okay. They're not what they used to be. I remember the last.
They're real. They're actual cheddar. They're not cream cheese, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the last bite I ever took of one. I was like probably 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
It's in the back of my grandparents' gold Ford Taurus, probably in 97.
Okay.
And they just took us to the Grand Rapids Public Museum. And they're like, what do you want? Oh, let's go to Burger King. They're like, what can we get you, 9-year-old? And I'm like, jalapeno poppers.
The Burger King is right there too, which is also for work today. I mean, Burger King is the closest.
Yeah.
So it's the most convenient.
But yeah, no, that was the last time I ever had them, and then they discontinued them, and then a few years they brought back.
Do they have a signature sauce, or they just ask you what you want to dip them in?
I honestly don't even know. I mean, I just get them with ranch.
Yeah, because I mean, Bronco Berry for Arby's is their signature dipping sauce for theirs. Yeah. But yeah, it is always, it throws me off when they throw cheddar instead of cream cheese because I'm just used to it.
And they're not real poppers. I mean, it's no. Like, it's almost like a cheese curd filled with diced jalapeno nacho cheese from GFS.
I don't know if this is a compliment or a dig, but Burger King is doing the most things. They're trying the most things out of any of the major.
Seeing what sticks.
They're like, you want jalapeno poppers? You want deep fried macaroni bites? You want tacos? We can try tacos.
Do you remember how big Burger King was when they came out with their cherry slushies?
No, I don't remember that being a big.
That was huge. Like their cherry frosty, cherry vanilla slushy, whatever it was. Like the twist. That was like all the rage.
I don't know. We were, until they went out of business, we were a big get them and go family. And then, I don't know what our go-to fast food was after that. Mr. Burger. We like Mr.
Get
them
and go. That was the purple one, right?
I don't think it was purple. It was the get them and go, the olives, because they made olive burgers.
Was that
burgers.
The lightning bolt? Did I have a lightning
no,
bolt?
No, that's Hot and Now.
Hot and Now. That's what I'm thinking
Hot and
of.
Now was the other one. We did Hot and Now and get them and go. Both
I always
discontinued.
Wanted to go to Hot and Now, but discontinued.
There's one Hot and Now still.
Where?
It's down south of Sturgis. It's like on the border of Michigan and Indiana.
Sounds like a field trip.
Anytime I was in the field and I was like 20 minutes out of the way, not bad.
Yeah.
Need to get lunch. And it was their prices are, you know, still super cheap now, but like their prices back in the day, it was like 50 cent burgers, oh, you know, 60 man. Cent cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Still good. And also when I bought them, I like kept all of the packaging that it came in because I was like holding on to it and I gave it to my parents. They thought it was the coolest thing. So, all right. So let's get into some of these sauces here. We got two sauces to try. We're going to start with the co-conspirator from High Desert Sauce Company. Again, that's Zach Perkins' sauce brand. We've tried the two sauces before. This one, the ingredient list, I don't know with your fact, I don't know if you looked at the ingredient list or went off the name on this one, but initially I was like, what am I going to go with? There's fire-roasted jalapenos, charred pineapple, distilled vinegar, you know, kosher salt. I'm like, I feel like we've done a lot of those things, but then there was the chiltepín pepper. Are you familiar with that pepper?
I am not. I'm assuming it's the little red ball.
It is the little red ball. I didn't even know that it was a little red ball. Let me pull up a picture of it here. But yeah, these guys.
I still feel like I'm a little bit invalidated. Mm-hmm. Doing this podcast, because when I go to research facts, a lot of times I'll look up the subject I want and then follow it up with facts. Mm-hmm. And it seems like only kids are interested in facts.
Yes.
Because the first 10 links are always, you know, conspiracy facts for kids. It's like,
yeah.
Well, why can't adults want to know about facts?
Here's my theory behind it to make me feel better. They do the headline facts for kids because it's easier to do like a list. While they expect adults just to read like
yeah.
a whole story or an article, and it's like, just give me a.
I know.
If you gave me an article that was a page long, I'd be like, oh, do I have to read this whole article? But if you gave me a, here's the top 40 facts about this thing, I'll read
yeah.
all those facts. Bullet points.
I know. The worst is
bullet
dinosaurs.
Points do work.
You look up anything dinosaur and it's all kid related.
Yeah.
You have to go to jstor.com. To pull scientific journals, and that's the only adult reading.
Do we want to mention your discovery that you've been listening to on repeat?
Dude, that's been putting me to sleep at night. So there's this university that did a study on the cranial chamber, the ear chamber, and the nasal chamber of Tyrannosaurus rex, and then they took that, compared it to alligators, crocodiles, I guess just crocodilians in general.
Yeah.
And then birds.
Crocodilian's such a better name.
And then came up with a composite of what T-Rex actually sounded like. It's spooky, and I can't get enough of it.
If you played that outside at night, my children would never go to sleep.
No, it's not for kids.
It's terrifying.
It's like you're looking at a it's just an Instagram reel.
Well, also you have to think about, you know, we're listening to it on like a phone, but think about the size of the T-Rex and the volume or the decibels.
So I was in my wife's vehicle has a good set of speakers in it. Oh, no. And I was going to do it in the car last night. And then I realized that I have a sleeping 6-month old in the back seat. I'm like, I can't blow her eardrums out with that. So
I mean,
didn't do it.
She's your daughter. She probably will just like get into a deeper sleep. Just like,
Yeah.
Soothing. But yeah, it was, we'll have to, We'll see if we can't. I don't know if I can play that as the background music to this episode, but that would be.
You should like, start the like, episode hey, with just those sounds.
I could do that. Could pull that sound for the episode. We'll play it. But yeah, let's open up the bottle here. Let's get trying this. And then, yeah, this extra pepper on here.
Does it have a Scoville rating? Oh, right there, 50,000 to 100,000. That's pretty warm.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising that I don't know as much about it because of, I mean, it's not like a, you know, it doesn't lack heat. I mean, everything's the bar is like how much hotter than a jalapeno is something.
Yeah.
And this is definitely, you know, above a jalapeno.
So we're already covering a lot. I feel like we've already tangented enough today.
I think part of it is just we haven't recorded an episode since the Down to Ferment interview.
Yeah.
And so we're just like.
The next time we record, do not let me forget to cover the Scoville page of the Pocket Reference.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually pretty comical. It's super interesting and it's comical to read this thing.
I'm going to mess this perforation up. I'm just going to pull it. It's like a 2 millimeters inside of both sides of the perforations. So maybe if I pull it like I'm pulling the tablecloth off of a table here. Let's see. Nope. But
a little part of it.
Just ripping it. Grip it and rip it.
I like you ducked away from that like it was going to have recoil on it.
Yeah. This ammo is live. So this one, definitely a chunky sauce. Like it's a dark green. You can see the charred bits in it. You see the seeds in there. It's like a nice dark forest green. Let's open this guy up. I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. I think you're gonna call this one a tortilla sauce, tortilla chip sauce.
Probably.
I have a good feeling. Just the chunk of it, roasted. You do roasted jalapeno chunky sauce. You're just asking to put that in a bowl at the center of a Mexican restaurant table.
Whoa.
Hopefully you like it. You did the most. All right, let's give it a try. So like a quick bite up front, but not a huge heat.
Mellows out right away,
which I did hear. I watched a YouTube video about this pepper. And they did talk about how it's a quick hit of heat and then it dissipates pretty fast.
Yeah. Man, this is good.
Also, if you, for any of the science lovers out there, the name of this pepper, the technical name, is Capsicum annuum. I got the phonetic writing here. Glabriesculum.
That's a mouthful.
So it's more of a mouthful than that pour you just did.
What's surprising to me, we've done a lot of Verdes. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of jalapeno pineapples.
Done a few pineapples, yeah.
They're all so different. Like, very different.
Yeah, because we did, Hook and Arrow was a pineapple, jalapeno pineapple one. And I know we've done other pineapple ones, too. Because I know I've done so much research about bromelain enzymes in pineapples.
The old bromeliad
family. It is my go-to fact. I was looking
at bromeliads this weekend for a dart frog terrarium.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
What'd you do this weekend?
Looking for dart frog terrarium accents. But no, the fun thing is whenever someone brings a pineapple, the first thing I do is I'm just like, in the back of my head, I'm like, try to bring up bromelain enzymes. I'm like, do you know that pineapple eats your tongue? And they're like, what? I'm like, it's true.
That's funny.
It's not false. No, this is good for like a breakfast burrito.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Any Mexican dish.
Yeah.
Any Tex-Mex dish that I make and then my Mexican friends tell me that it's not truly Mexican. Anytime I grab, so their preference is that I don't use taco seasoning packets because they're like, that's not Mexican. That is Tex-Mex. That is, it's just not authentic, which I totally agree with, but I still love it and use it. But every time, they at least have it set up in my brain now where when I grab it at the grocery store or I rip it open and when I'm about to cook some tacos, I do feel regret, shame, remorse, where I'm like, I could make it better.
Yeah.
But this is just powder water, dump it into a thing of cooked beef.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still good. And I'm still not going to like Taco Bell. Taco Bell's great.
On Taco Bell last night.
Taco Bell's great. But like the Taco Bell meat is another level. Somebody just did a YouTube video where they were trying to predict what a group of people picked was like the worst tacos of the fast food taco chains.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying Jack in the Box. They were trying Del Taco. They're trying all these different tacos. And they said, the weird thing is, they said, no one, for sure, no one voted Taco Bell as the worst taco because of how popular Taco Bell is.
Yeah.
They said, when you eat them side by side with all the other tacos, it is the most distinctly different in a negative way.
Really?
Because it tastes the least like actual, like, taco beef. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's got, like, I don't think it was a tartness, but there's a sharpness to it that he was just like, really? That is mind-altering.
Huh.
But no, this is really good flavor. The pineapple, it's there, but it's not.
This, you know, bottle's like a third of the way gone.
Yeah, the bottle's a third of the way gone. It's one that you could do as simple as just dipping your chips in it. You could do it on, I just get stuck on breakfast burrito. They mentioned on their website, they said, you know, chicken, seafood, even a fruit salad. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Mix that into a fruit salad. Trick my family into eating spice.
I think just like, honestly, it's just like sour cream. Like if you're dipping empanadas or something like that.
That would be good.
Oh man, that'd be really good.
But the fact that I went into, as I've already kind of mentioned, the chiltepín pepper,
mm-hmm.
which, how, so you're, other than knowing it's the little ball pepper, which it says that they locally source their chiltepins from the Langford Farms Incorporated.
Okay.
Other than that it's the little ball pepper, do you know anything about the chiltepín pepper?
Not really.
So I have two facts. One is just a small little nothing, and one is a more in-depth one. The first thing is, it is the United States' only wild native pepper.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Found, I'm assuming, in the Southwest?
It is. So going into that, so in 1999, ethnobotanist, which I didn't know was a thing, Gary Nabin persuaded the U.S. Forest Service to create the Wild Chili Botanical Area on 2,500 acres of parcel on Arizona's Coronado National Forest in the Sonoran Desert.
Really?
So the first botanical reserve, it was the first botanical reserve of a wild ancestor of a cultivated crop. It's also protected in Southwest Texas at the Big Bend National Park, and it's not protected, but it's on like the Do Not Disturb list of the Oregon Pipe National Monument in South Arizona.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I got to check that out. That's cool.
Apparently like they talked about in this video I watched, there was like families that would go out and they would do these little, you know, harvesting parties of like, yeah, going out into the wild and like harvest, almost like morels, yeah, where it's like, oh, it's that time of year to.
That'd be awesome. I love that. And it's funny you brought that up because just a couple weeks ago, you know, doing Michael things.
Yeah.
I found myself trying to find seeds from the ancestor plant to domesticated things we have now, meaning trying to find what corn was derived from, get my hands on some of those seeds, trying to find like the original squash, you know, because everything today, yeah, is just domesticated.
I feel like that's the equivalent of like someone else like just saying, oh, I was stuck on YouTube or TikTok for like 2 hours. You're like, I was trying to research about the ancestors of plants.
Sleep. Yeah. But I was just trying to get my hands on those seeds because I would love to. I don't know. I feel like we've just made everything so bulky and fleshy and starchy,
mm-hmm,
that it's just kind of losing its, sure, it might be a whole fresh food.
Yeah. I
feel like it's kind of losing its original purpose of what we originally humans evolved eating it as.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be interested in getting my hands on some of the original seeds of like, you know what, my squash, sure, it's 2 inches long, but it's the original squash.
You're just trying to find these things, eat them, and get your body used to older and more ancestral products. So when
prep for the mammoth,
when that mammoth meatball is allowed to be consumed by someone, you're like, my digestion has dated back at least 4,000 years so far.
Can handle this. Yeah. I'll take on that challenge.
Yeah, do the test.
Medium, they're rare, please.
His gut health tested as someone from the 1300s. Like, how did that?
It's like the same as that Anzi man that they, yeah, found in ice.
But no, that.
That's awesome. I didn't know about that. We got to check that out because we love. I feel bad. I've turned Courtney. She was like a gamer nerd before.
Yeah.
But now she's like a nerd, like botany, flora, animal.
So people are always just like, oh, do you game? I'm like, yeah, I game. And then I start talking to people. I'm like, oh, I don't game anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, I play Madden. And then it's like, oh, I'm not with it. Like even people at work, they're like, oh, we're going to get on and play Call of Duty. I'm like, I'm more of a Halo guy. They're like, Halo still has games.
That's
I'm like,
funny.
Dang it.
Courtney's like, oh, I'm a gamer. I used to play RuneScape all the time.
That's so like... there is a niche for people that game, but only like the classics.
Yeah.
Like you could have a Twitch. Is it Twitch?
The streaming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have a Twitch. That's how old I am. You could have a Twitch video of you playing like Minesweeper. And it could be like people would be like, yeah, let's watch. This yeah, person yeah. just like get frustrated
so
with Minesweeper.
It's like, do you guys have nothing to do?
I think it's
like.
So I thought about this because I watch certain YouTube videos where some of them I turn off when Angel comes in the room, not because they're bad, but because I'm like, this is kind of dumb that I'm watching this. Yeah. Where it's like a TV show that I watch and then I watch a video of people that are comedically funny, but they're just watching and reacting to the same show I just watched.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I like to see what they think because I know we have the same kind of sense of humor.
I'm watching someone else watch TV for
yeah,
me.
It's weird, but I thought about it. And I'm like, okay, well, my friends that I, you know, the friends that I'm close with, I'm in group text, like we hang out once a year.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like we're going to try to get something together where I'm like, these people I can talk, I can see them talk about the episode and I can get other perspectives on a show that I watch. But it is the same thing with Twitch where it's like, I mean, have you ever gone to a buddy's house where they're playing a video game? It's like, oh, I'll just like sit and watch, like, you know, we can take turns or whatever. Have you ever just sat there and like they are playing and you're just watching it like a movie?
Yeah, mostly because I'm awful at video games, but yeah.
I mean, but I think that's part of it too. So anyway, that was another tangent.
There used to be one that I really liked. It was, I like watching vocal coaches react to famous singers.
Oh, yeah,
I think
I like
those videos are neat. I got into one and I thought she was, her first couple of videos I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that most of them, whenever these singers would do something, she would just go,
oh, same reaction every time?
Just, she would gasp. And then at the end, she'd be like, that was awesome. And then just, it'd be the end of the video. I'm like, I want you to talk about like what they're doing with their vocal cords right now.
My biggest issue, excuse me, my biggest issue with.
It is on the warmer side of mild, Matthew.
Yeah, I know. That's what it says. My biggest issue with the music ones is they pause the song right when I'm really getting into the, like, oh, they just pause it right before the good part.
Just about to hit peak decibel and they pause
it. And then they go back 10 seconds and back 10 seconds. But, all right. So what was your fact for the co-conspirator?
So for this one, I went with, what do you think I went with?
I think you went into conspiracy theories.
I went into conspiracy theories.
Yeah. The co-conspirator, I thought about trying to flip the script and not go into the ingredients, but then I'm like, I feel like he's going to go into conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So
I went with, there's a conspiracy out there that the Dalai Lama is a CIA agent.
Okay. I'm down for that. Explain.
It is true.
Wait, it's already been confirmed?
Yeah. I looked up the biggest conspiracy theories that turned out to be true, and this was one of them. So it says, perhaps the reason the Dalai Lama is smiling in all those photos has something to do with the six-figure salary he pulled down from the U.S. government during the 1960s. According to declassified intelligence documents, he earned $180,000 in connection with the CIA's funding of the Tibetan resistance. Hold on, I got to switch pages here. The Tibetan resistance to the tune of $1.7 million per year. The idea was to disrupt and hamper China's infrastructure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
So maybe not an agent, but a asset. And
he was
paid.
He was definitely involved.
Yes, he was involved. That's crazy. And there's a lot of things on here where I'm like, well, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole and putting it on the internet. But there's a lot of things on this that appear to be true, which it's like, that would never happen. Well, that happened.
Yeah, that's the weird thing is that like when you first said I'm going to conspiracy theories, I'm like, there's a lot of them right now that I'm like, we're going to. Really,
we've already tiptoed through this one.
Already isolated all the female listeners. Now we're
gonna Subway fans
and Subway fans. You know, and then you know if we bring up Bear Grylls, then we're gonna lose some more.
That's all right. I don't want those people following us, anyways.
Like those people have no sense. We're not gonna mind about them. But
like, I'm sure Bear is a nice guy. I just don't like how you blatantly lie.
It's also hard to tell how nice someone is with an accent like that because you're like, oh, he's so nice. And it's like, well, that accent you can get away with a lot more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually a scientific thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was just making a joke.
I saw the study one time and they had someone with just a standard accent like mine.
Yeah.
A southern accent and then a European accent and they gave a lecture. And then they gave a quiz that essentially rated how much you trust that person, how educated you thought they were. Of course, Southern accent was very not trustworthy, uneducated.
That's
which I think is not true. I mean, in general, knowledge has nothing to do with your accent.
Right.
And then the middle of the road was just the standard American.
Yeah. And then British was.
And then, yeah, European, British, UK, stuff like that. That was by far like the highest, most educated, most trustworthy voice that people heard during these lectures.
I will say that my parents don't mind cursing in a movie when it's with a British accent.
It's just funny. Like, it fits in their language like another word. Like, it's, you drop a four-letter.
Yeah, I don't know if it even technically counts as a curse because of how morphed it is.
No. You hear a British person drop a four-letter word that ends in T.
Yep.
And you're like, you don't bat an eye. You hear that in the U.S. and you're like, oh, what did he say?
There could actually be two different two different curse words that end in T. But you're talking one that starts with C.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, you watch like a dash cam video, you hear the driver, he's like, oh, he says that. And you don't think much of it. And then if someone says it in the U.S., you're like, man, you can't say that.
Yeah. If someone says it in the U.S., you're that that music teacher.
Exactly.
I do. Yeah. Sometimes I do find it interesting when they mute out, like on some of those dash cam videos, when they mute out some of the cursing. I'm like, I don't even know if I know what they just said. Like, they might have made up a new word. But
some of the funniest dash cam videos out there are Australian dash cam videos.
Oh, most of mine end up being drunk people in Wisconsin, which we've talked about, is the drunkest state in Michigan, in the United States. Sorry, I've been drinking
already. Who's drunk, yeah. But no, watch Australian dash cam videos. Those are crazy. And they have, Australians have the best chain combo curse.
Yeah.
Curses out there. It's so funny. It's like, man, I've never heard that combination of those swear words used before.
Mel Gibson's Australian.
Anyway. Are you serious?
Yeah. Wait, did you not know that?
Mel Gibson's Australian?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Does he have an Australian accent?
He does have an Australian accent.
Mel Gibson. The dude from Signs.
The dude that originally started with Mad Max, which was an Australian film.
He is not. He's an American.
Okay.
Are you serious right now?
I'm very serious.
Dude, I don't believe you at all.
Do I need to
search
it?
If you said it in a British accent, I would have believed you, but...
Hold on here.
Play a clip of that. I'm born in New York.
I thought he was Australian.
I would have heard. Because I'm always blown away by who's Australian. And he's never blown me away from being from Australia.
His parents moved to Sydney, Australia when he was 12 years old.
Okay. Yeah, he even said very innocent. I think that was an interesting thing. Is that his actual voice?
Yeah. When he moved to the U.S., he might have changed it. Once you see him in Egypt, I mean, let's go to this. This was SNL. But this part will really kill you. He still has it there, but it's going away.
Hold on. Play one from like last week. He's on Joseph Rogan. Play that one. Just the recovery from a traumatic
surgery at that age is like, it's a big deal. And so now it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I see the fluctuation in there. But
it's progressively gone away.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, you were right, and it definitely says so to Australia.
We were both right.
Okay.
He was not born in Australia. He did have an Australian accent for the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
And then it has gone away as he's been in the U.S.
I wonder if that fades or you make a conscious decision of like, I will stop talking like that now.
I mean, I feel like also with the roles that he does, like it's harder to keep that accent. I know some other people that have said that had accents that, you know, said that it's harder for them to go back to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a major tangent.
Interesting.
Also, just because this is easy now to identify, I'm a bigger fan of Australian Mel Gibson. The more American he's become, the less, not because of the accent, but because the less popular he's been with some of the things that he's chosen to do. But Lethal Weapon Mel Gibson's one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
That
I love him in Signs.
That franchise is one of my favorite franchises.
And I think, full transparency, everyone, all seven of you that listen know that I don't do pop culture.
I think
really.
We're up to eight.
Eight, nice.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
I'm gonna try to get Gary Nabin, the ethnobotanist. Like, we talked about you.
Yeah. But no, I'm just saying that, like, I know he kind of went, like, people thought he was kind of weird, kind of just weren't having clear thoughts about him for a while. couldn't tell you what that was about and what started that. You don't have to explain it to me right now, but I'm ignorant to that fact of like, I don't know. I watch Lethal Weapon sometimes, and that's my extent of Mel Gibson.
I think it's something where it's fine to divide out that the movies are something that I've always enjoyed. Lethal Weapon, Conspiracy Theory with Julie Roberts is another underrated movie with Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
But like, yeah, there were some things that happened that definitely took him out of the limelight. But I will say this, when Robert Downey Jr. from Iron Man, which you've seen that.
I've seen that. Seen I know that what one.
He knows what an Iron Man is.
RDJ is.
Yeah. Before that, he was dealing with a lot of, you know, struggles. He had different vices. And when he was getting out of that, Mel Gibson was actually the one that, you know, kind of gave him a place to stay and helped him get his career back on track.
That's cool.
So it's like, I do like Mel Gibson. I just am not happy with some of the things he does. But Lethal Weapon movies are fantastic. But let's get into the score of The Co-Conspirator. The Co-Conspirator, again, the char, I know other people do like fire roasted sauces and things like that. But I feel like Zach gets the fire roasted and the char on his sauces really, really right.
Yeah.
Because he had those you know, roasted or charred carrots in the other sauce that we tried. He knows, and I think Brian Ames talked on one of his episodes where he saw Zach roasting carrots. He's like, really? Roast carrots? He's like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I believe that was something that I heard on a video of Brian's. But it's just the pineapple is not like super, super in your face. And pineapple, again, is strong where it, you know, can eat away at your tongue. So like you don't want that.
I definitely get pineapple right away. First thing I get is pineapple.
It's first there, but then you're getting the roasted elements. You're getting some of that more. Yeah,
followed by roasted and then jalapeno.
The jalapeno. I mean, again, we went through the ingredients. It's peppers, pineapple, vinegar, filtered water and kosher salt. So it's very forward on the flavors, very forward on the core ingredients. But for this one, I had this as an 87 out of 100.
I had 77.
Okay. Yeah, this one, I mean, above 75 is something we would want in our kitchen, you know, year round. The 50 to 75 is something we still would recommend to buy. But then the heat on this is low. Like it's a kick in the initial, you know, a low initial kick, but then it doesn't linger. It doesn't build like something that you're gonna like react as you are trying it. So, I mean, I had this as like a high one.
Yep, might have one too
on heat. So the warmer side of mild is how they heat rate it on their website. But again, this one really good. For High Desert Sauce Company, just to mention these, they're on their website is hdsauceco.com. Facebook and Instagram is High Desert Sauce Co. So again, The Co-Conspirator, this is another good sauce from Zach. I don't think we'll be disappointed with any of his sauces that he's had, just from what I've seen from reviews of other people and from the hot sauce groups on Facebook, how much they love his sauces. And I mean, you've been working through the burners, the black labels.
Yeah.
And so
everything I've tried of his has just been outstanding.
Yeah. And we talked about it last week's episode with Eddie. He even talked about how, you know, Zach has been a great help for them as far as always willing to give honest opinions and advice and things like that. So let's get into the Queen Majesty. We're going to get into the Scotch Bonnet and Ginger Hot Sauce. So this one, let me just read the label here. Queen Majesty Scotch Bonnet and Ginger Hot Sauce is handmade in New York City. This original recipe adds a vibrant flavor and a slow burning heat to all your favorite foods. Their heat level equals hot. And this is great for soups, curries, dips, eggs, vegetables, sandwiches, and more. Enjoying good health. I mean, if you're not healthy, you can enjoy it too.
I feel like these hot sauces go so good on pretty much everything. They should just, it'd be better for them to label what it wouldn't go on.
Don't put this on peach pie.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
It'd be a shorter list.
But then the problem is, it's the button in the middle of the room where it's like, don't press this button. It's like, well, I got to at least see what it does.
I'm slapping that thing.
Yeah. It's like, this doesn't go with cheese, but like I put it in queso. So the ingredients on this one. White vinegar, bell pepper, Scotch bonnet pepper, habanero peppers, sweet onion, lemon juice, ginger root, extra virgin olive oil, salt, and spices. So, again, not a lot of, you know, a lot of crazy ingredients. Still a pretty minimal list. So we'll open this one up.
I got to talk to you about something after this podcast.
Oh, geez.
I just had an idea, and I don't want to give it away because I feel like this one is just giving away free ideas that someone's going to make money off of, which we do regularly. If you're a listener of the show and I feel
come up with ideas, not make money off of this.
Exactly. We're idea men. We just don't make money off
of it. I'm an idea man. I thrive on enthusiasm. But also,
I just had a flavor profile pop into my head that I want to talk to you about.
One of the things I was going to mention on the co-conspirator that it popped in, and then we went on another tangent, where the pepper, the chiltepín pepper, where I'm like, this would have been a pepper that you would have been like, we need to make a hot sauce out of this, because I think a big thing for you is like foraged. Like foraged and like, you know, these.
I think that's why it's like the Holy Fiddlehead is a great sauce to me. It just makes it that much better when I'm like,
there should be some
foraged a lot of this.
I don't know if you've seen our messages. There should be some updates on the Fiddlehead coming soon. It was a little delayed this year, but it's something where when we get that, we're going to probably, we already did an episode on it, but we're going to have to do something about it. But then also you've already stated that you might buy him out on some Fiddlehead, but we'll see. Anyway, let's open up this. I went too fast, but it was actually really good. Though. Yeah. So this one has a, you know, the most opposite color you can think of. This one is like,
it's like French's mustard yellow.
Yeah, it's like a yellow slightly into an orange, like a very pale orange into a little, not quite bright yellow, but it's, I don't know, but it's definitely a smoother sauce. It's a smoother sauce, but it doesn't seem too watery. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited about my fact for this one. This one might make you fall over.
I'll reinforce the chair. Oh my gosh. That one definitely smells hotter.
Is that a sinus clear?
But it smells really good.
It smells.
So my problem is I did a big whiff. I didn't do like a slow smell. I just did like a,
yeah,
took a pull on that. But the other thing I will mention about this one. So when we went to visit Angela's family in Iowa, her sister lives out there with her family, and in their fridge they had this sauce.
Oh really?
And I was like, oh, like, can I give that a try? And they're just like, yeah, someone must have like left that here. We don't really do hot sauce. Again, Italian family just doesn't like spice.
That's so funny. I saw one pepper flakes.
Not
one
all
time.
Of them don't like spice. Her one brother has been a willing participant in trying the hot sauce I bring to their house. But I also don't bring anything above like a medium-ish. So,
when we were in Italy, I thought there was going to be much more spice. I wasn't expecting a spicy place.
Yeah.
But I thought there was going to be more than there was.
At least something.
It was extremely. You'd go to a market, and out of every single vendor there, you'd see look like a couple cayenne peppers.
Yeah.
That was it.
It's kind of like when I go to a restaurant and I'm like, I'm going to get the spiciest thing they got. Let's see what they got. And they're like, no, nothing really spicy.
Yeah.
I'm like, what about their wings? And they're like, we have just mild buffalo.
Honey barbecue.
So even though I had the Caribbean jerk chicken balls yesterday.
Like boneless chicken wings that were oddly
like
spherical.
They looked like meatballs.
They were perfectly hand.
But I got their hot Caribbean jerk sauce and it was good, but it was mild.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's give this one a try here. To finish my little short story, I did try the sauce when I was in Iowa. Mm-hmm. I knew it was good, but I didn't. I was just tried one spoonful and was done. This one almost feels like it's going to be a hiccup.
Really?
I don't know what the hiccup science is.
I love the ginger in that. It's very ginger forward.
So ginger is not something that I do a lot, but
it has
good
sushi.
Ginger. Sushi, I do like when the ginger is involved in like shrimp or seafood, like a nice coconut shrimp. You dip this in there. I would be down for that.
Man, I like this one.
Definitely a hotter heat.
Very smooth.
So
for the Scotch bonnet heat, it doesn't. A lot of times you'll get like
Scotch bonnet and
really
habaneros too.
Exponential ramp up with your hotter peppers, where it's like, it hits you and you're like waiting. Yep, there it is. And then it's just way hot. Or you get like a hard spike right off the bat and then a quick dive right after.
Yeah.
This one's just a steady, it's a pleasant buildup, a pleasant hold, and I'm already kind of tailing off of like, I got the heat I wanted. I'm going to be able to taste my next bite, you know?
Right. This one, it does, on the website, it does list that it has a slow burning heat. And it is something that's definitely lingering. Ginger and lemon together, I feel like, works really well. The ginger is one where sometimes you get ginger where it's like it has a heat, kind of like a garlic has kind of like its own kind of heat,
a bite to it.
And I always thought it was something where when you get the ginger at the store, I'm like, guys, I don't know if you know this, but like you don't, you know, cut it. You just like rub the back end of the blade and it like takes the peel off. And everyone's like, yeah, we've seen every cooking show that does ginger. Like that's how you do it. But the ginger, it's always at like, even at the Meijer grocery store, it's like they have ginger and I'm like, I should use this more. It's so readily available and it's super cheap.
Yeah.
For how much flavor is packed.
Root of ginger in our.
We really should have that and garlic. Like garlic I usually have, I should have ginger too. They even mentioned putting it with sweet potatoes. My sister does a mashed sweet potato that she'll put like, sometimes she'll drizzle like a little bit of like maple syrup or she'll put sometimes even like a ground Dijon mustard. Mm-hmm. But like sweet potato can take a lot of different types of flavors, you know, a bunch of marshmallows.
Yeah.
But gross. this would be a good one to put in a sweet potato. Chicken wings, obviously.
I'm thinking anything rice, but like sushi. I don't know. I feel like this would be awesome on like a nigiri roll.
Well,
nigiri? Hold on. Nigiri is the snake from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's nigiri, right?
Nigiri.
Yeah.
This is a samosa Samoa situation again.
Yeah. Pretty sure nigiri is a horcrux. Nigiri. That's what it is. Yeah.
Spoiler, it's a horcrux. I'm wondering if this one was one of the unhot ones. So season 4, Scotch bonnet and ginger.
Okay.
This was the fourth sauce on the lineup. Back then, they were still doing Valentina, Crystal, Secret Aardvark is a good one.
Valentina Black Label.
Yeah. Dude, that's so funny. So like El Yucateca, Valentina.
I love Valentina.
Tabasco. Like they've been coming out with like, we got to do something. They're coming out with a bunch of different, like Scott from Lucky Dog posted that El Yucateca sent him like the full array.
Yeah.
And he's like, some of these are pretty like, El Yucateca sweet chili sauce. And it's like, didn't know that existed. So this one does burn really good. The other thing I was going to say about ginger, and I'm trying to remember what that fact was. I had an extra bonus fact about ginger that I...
Did you give your first fact?
I haven't done the fact yet.
I was going to say, I must have not been paying attention.
But I'll see if I can come up with that fact again. But there's something that I had lost it. It's that kind of morning. Anyway, so Queen Majesty again, Eric Adil from Queen Majesty. We also posted a video of the pineapple jalapeno sauce that she did on Hot Ones on the YouTube video with Sean Evans. Me and my daughter made that together. She commented on there. I told her, yeah, my daughter saw your video because she asked if there was, you know, women in hot sauce. She said she wanted to make that charred pineapple jalapeno sauce, which really, really good. I don't know if I did the ratios just right, but it still had really good flavor. It was just a little more vinegary than Emma liked.
Mm-hmm.
But she, from that response, she commented, she's like, oh, tell her I say hi. And I showed Emma, I'm like, here's the video that you know we did. And I said, read the comments. And she got to that and she was just super excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was really cool.
Yeah.
But
I'm excited for stuff like that. Like, obviously I have a daughter now, but like I've been keeping my, I do. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that explains so much.
Did I not tell you that?
That explains so much more.
I've been keeping an eye out on like, obviously I
just thought you'd been telling me that you're, you know, when you said putting the baby to bed, I'm like, man, you're really mean to Courtney.
But like, obviously, you know, the hope for Courtney and I is that like we're role models for her.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously I think girls should have, you know, girl role models too, you know, like I think that's important to be like,
there's a balance between like, yeah. you want to be a good example, but you also want them to find, you know, other people that they can, you know, see things or strive for.
Right. Yeah. And I'm definitely on board with like, you know what, like I'll probably never end up pushing you in a certain direction that I want you to go. Like I'll definitely be like, hey, do you want to try this? You know, but it's like, if she wants to go in direction X and do that as a hobby or whatever, you know.
You might be more enthusiastic about certain directions.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like,
what do you mean you don't want to be a paleontologist?
I'm like, if you want to be a paleontologist, I guess I can just give you all the stuff that I've been waiting to give you for all this
exactly.
time.
Exactly. But no, like I've been keeping tabs on like females in different industries of like you do that, like you have that down to a science of someone who's just like, who's in it because they love it.
And
I've been keeping tabs on like one day, like, oh, have you ever heard of this person? Or have you ever heard of that person? Just kind of present that of like, just kind of prepping potential role models.
Yeah.
In different, you know, different fields, industries, directions, stuff like that.
It's, yeah, it's one of those
I'm
like, where
I'm kind of excited about it too. It's really strange. I never thought I'd feel that way. Cause
I
don't,
it's tougher in sports because it's like, I've had sports idols where I'm like, I shouldn't have been a fan of them. They're not actually that good of a person. where it's like, yeah, you don't want them to depend fully on, you know, celebrity or, but really it's not celebrity. It's like, if there's someone that's just succeeds in a field that they truly like the, you know, the woman that discovered Sue.
Yeah.
Like if she was like, oh my gosh, like that's so cool. And like, you know, that was where she was drawn to. It's like, that's better than, you know, I want to be like Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I don't like the superstar idolization. I think that means you're probably missing something in your life and you should probably get an.
I guess it depends on what the reason is. If you're just like, I just want to be famous like them. Yeah. But if it's like, I want to be a great singer and I want like, sure. I guess it depends on the reason behind. Yeah. But anyway, our parenting podcast is next week. So we'll get more into that.
I'm sorry.
We'll get more into that then.
I have so many tangents that have just been building up the last couple weeks.
Would you like to go?
I'll go first.
First on this one? Okay.
All right. So question for you. All right. So there's a predatory feline on the front of the bottle. To me, kind of looks like a jaguar, possibly a leopard. In North America.
Okay.
Well, in the United States.
Okay.
We have wild cats. Not domesticated cats, but true.
Wild cats.
Wild cats.
Not the Goldie Hawn movie?
Never seen it.
Okay.
Like Goldie Hawn, never seen it.
It's a good movie.
Can you, first of all, give me a number. How many species of wild cats do you think live in the United States?
How many different species?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, don't add it. No, are I'm you Googling
up,
that?
No, I'm looking up something else.
Oh.
I was looking up this.
I'm like, that's not fair.
See? Wildcats.
Oh. Is that Wesley Snipes?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's before.
Is that Woody Harrelson?
I think so.
It is.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Swoozy Kurtz.
I wouldn't have got that one.
Yeah. Anyway, how many different species of wildcats? 100. No. I never know if that's too low or too high. That's
way too high.
Five,
yes. That is right. Can you name those five?
No, I cannot. The fact that I thought 100.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like either this fact is amazing because there's like so many.
Yeah.
Or it's, yeah. Or it's
Give me your best shot. Do you have any guesses out of the five?
Are any of them just like the barn cat?
No, it's a domesticated cat.
Even the barn cats?
Yeah.
They're not domesticated. They're in a barn.
No, they're domesticated. They're the number one killer of songbirds in the world.
I don't even know what wildcats would be in the U.S. I think everything I'm going to is I'm like, well, that's Asia. Just let me know.
What's the one that always makes the news? Someone always catches it on trail camera in the UP.
Was it like a bobcat?
I mean, not what I was going for, but that's one of them.
That's one of them? Okay. Bobcat, mountain lion?
Yep.
Okay. Was that what you were going for?
That was the trail cam one. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm on a roll, and I'm gonna probably.
You're almost halfway there. You just got to name one half more, and you're
just living on
there.
A prayer. I don't got it.
Okay.
Okay.
There's bobcats. There's mountain lions.
Mm-hmm.
There's Canadian lynx.
So there's a lynx at the zoo. So I should have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Should have had that one.
Yeah.
There's actually no. I lied to you. I totally lied to you. There's six of them. There's bobcats.
Wasn't even halfway.
There's lynx. There's mountain lions.
Okay.
There's ocelots down in Texas.
Okay.
There's jaguarundis.
That's not real.
Yeah, it is. Look it up. It's a jaguarundi. It looks like a weasel cat, and it is a feline. And they live. Tell me that's not the craziest looking thing you've ever seen.
That wants to murder me.
How cool is that?
Where are those?
These are like South Texas, I think.
I'm not going to Texas.
Isn't that crazy? That is a mix between.
I would give that cat my lunch money.
A bear, a weasel, and a cat. And they live in the United States. The last one, I feel like it's going to blow your mind. Any guesses?
No, because.
The jaguar. Jaguars live in the United States. Now,
where?
Arizona.
Oh,
Arizona. There's not many of them. There's like a couple. There's so few of them. They're named, like there's one like Phil, like they name it. But yeah, that's a jaguar that actually will cross the border, between Mexico and Arizona. Way, way far down on the list on the controversies of a border between the U.S. and Mexico.
Got to stop these jaguars.
Is the jaguar population, which...
How are they getting over the border?
I mean, there essentially is no border wall for most of it.
I know.
But, yeah, there's still... Scientists think that historically, the jaguar right now, they think the U.S.-Mexico border naturally would be the northern end of his range anyways, or their range anyways.
Okay.
But that's the question right now is, like, if a wall was built, what's that going to do to the natural influx of jaguars? Like, is old Tommy Boy here, is he going to be on the north side of the wall if it's built, and then great his movie. Mate is going to be on the south side of the, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to disrupt their...
Yeah, so, I mean, that's very far down on the list of concerns for that whole topic right now.
I would love, not to get political, but I would love if there was, like, an open forum or, like, a town hall type thing for politics, and they started bringing up, like, border concerns and immigrants and all that. I'd be like, but what are we doing about the jaguars?
People say that, and they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah, because no one – I think his name's El Jefe, actually.
But, like, do you think
– Yes, El Jefe right there. See it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's – there's not many of them, but the United States
– But I would do that. I'd be like, do you think jaguars are more dangerous or less dangerous than other border situations? But, like, which one would you like to be in a room with, an immigrant or a jaguar?
Oh, gosh.
we'll stop that there. That tangent went south.
But I mean, think about it. Look at that cat right now. You look at that and you're like, oh, obviously South America or Africa.
Yeah.
Right? Fairly, it's by no means common, but it's very much not unheard of for one to set foot on U.S. soil.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell my daughter that. She's already paranoid about bears that mostly live in northern Michigan.
We'd be downtown Grand Rapids. My wife is like, what if there's bears on Leonard? I'm like, I don't know what to tell
there
you.
There was a bear at Angela's old house when Mason was born. Her sister was like watching the house. Right? Yeah. 5 years ago. And she called and she's like, hey, the cops are at your, like, the intersection at your house. And we're like, oh, God, like, drug bust, what? Because it was downtown Grand Rapids.
Black bears.
It was not. And they're like, no, a black bear was up in the tree in the backyard of the house, kitty corner from you at the intersection.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I think it's funny. It climbed a tree at the zoo, right? I think it ran to the zoo and it climbed a tree there. They tranked it down.
Well, this one was in, like, just GR neighborhood. I don't know where this bear came from.
Yeah, no, this one is, it was a wild bear.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it ended up
back
in
the
park at the zoo. Like, not in the zoo, but, like, it found its way towards all the other animals hanging out in downtown Grand Rapids.
Seems like that's the place to hang out.
I don't know. I just think that's so cool that there's really three big ones that are off people's radar. How wild are jaguarundis, too?
Jaguarundi is a cool one. That's the biggest thing that I've learned so far today. Jaguarundi is also a name where it's like it sounds like you're just making something up.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get into my fact. What do you think I went into?
The history of the headwear bonnets.
That would be a good one. I went into gingerbread men.
Okay.
Also, this has a burn that continues, but I keep taking spoonfuls. So I'm like constantly just like snotting because it's like my nose is running a bit, but it's like it's still a tolerable heat.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went into ginger. Do you know when gingerbread men started being created, like when they started doing that with the gingerbread?
I'm going to say it was out of economic necessity to come up with, all they had was ginger, flour, and probably Elmer's glue. I'm going to say it was in 1929, the gingerbread caught on.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Okay.
So the legend traces of gingerbread men go back to Queen Elizabeth I.
Really?
So I just looked up what her time frame is. She was alive from 1533 to 1603. So in the late 1500s, supposedly she had her cooks mold the pastry into shapes of her favorite courtiers and liked to give VIP guests ginger biscuits that were edible caricatures. Around the same time, here's an extra bonus. Around the same time, there was a belief that if a woman ate a gingerbread husband, it would lead to her marriage.
That's so funny. So the way they framed it seems like a
It's not 100% like fact stated, but also when you were like, they made it out of necessity for this, and I'm like, they made it as just a fun party favor to their guests.
The opposite of economic disparity. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
In a palace.
I didn't mean to do that. That's funny. But no, I just picture, that was a very articulated fact, but I just picture someone sitting on a throne, bored out of their mind, making little bread people and then breaking their legs off just out of like, oh, I don't like that person. Snap, snap. You know, like.
That could have been, that was the next reason that they did it.
And then they framed it in the, like this articulate way when it was just them just wanting to make little voodoo dolls.
She was like, we noticed that the queen had all of these little pastry men created. And so we thought, oh, they must be for the party favors for the guests because there seemed to be one for every guest. And she's like, yeah, I wanted to break Gary's legs. Gary's having a rough and up and down day today. No, I just thought that was a fun fact. I always like when there's like a some type of, not mythical, but when they're like, oh, you know, if you break a piece of ginger and, you know, they're equal sizes, then, you know, you have good luck for a year. It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, right.
Some of these I go, oh, that's such a fun, like what crazy things they did back then. But I'm like, we still grab the wishbone out of the turkey, break right. it and do like, got to get your wish. I still have to eat the fortune cookie to hope that I get the good fortune that I'm promised in the very vague Chinese fortune
not
cookie.
A superstitious person.
A little stitious,
but fortune cookies do something to me. And I realized, I wholeheartedly realized that they have no cultural significance other than Americanized Chinese food.
Yeah. And most of them.
But they get me.
Most of them are vague enough where it's like, oh, okay. But like a good one gets you kind of like, gives you some like elevated, you know, joy. But if I've never had a negative one that I can remember, but if I got one, I feel like that would.
I've had some that were anxious. Like, they weren't negative, but it's like they were like, you won't fail today. It's like you're not going to succeed, but it's like
you're not going to do as bad as you think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, cool. Just very almost like sarcastic slaps of like, here it is.
They're like, oh, let's see what my fortune says. You're wrong. It could be worse. Like, oh, no. Oh, gosh. So I like the warmth of this sauce. I do like the idea of putting this with soups, soups and curries, because I could see this as a good, you know, I make a lot of soups in the fall for the family, and some of them are like a squash, butternut squash bisque or something like that.
I was just going to say.
But if you put this in there post, you know, that way my family can have their soup, and this gives it a nice warmth. That ginger goes well with it. The ginger and the lemon, I think, are even parts of that soup.
It's funny you said that. I was just going to say a butternut squash soup or bisque. Mix this in with sour cream and then a nice big dollop of the spicy sour cream in the middle of that.
That would be good.
Yeah, that'd be real good.
But yeah, this one I really like. Yeah, I really like that warmth to it. I still think it would be good with like a coconut shrimp to dip in some coconut shrimp. The wings, I mean, with all hot sauce, I mean, especially ones that they were on hot ones, it seems kind of an obvious one to say, oh, go good on chicken wings. But I always am kind of bummed when I order chicken wings and it's like barbecue and buffalo and like this standard. I always get excited when I'm like, they have like a curry something wing, or they got a, even if it doesn't make any sense, like this one says it's a zinger dinger wing. I don't know what that is, but like, let's try it. It has like boom boom sauce wing. So
bang, yeah, bang. This
bang bang boom boom is, there's is a place it? Here in Hudsonville. They make a boom boom chicken wing and a boom boom pizza. So yeah, boom boom bang bang. I don't know if they just wanted to change it up. But for the,
ching, ching, well,
for the heat on this one, I have this as a solid 3 because my nose has been like running.
Yeah, I put 3 too.
It lingers on the heat. It's not burning me out of the house, but it's like, it's a present heat. And I've been having spoonfuls and spoonfuls, and it's not growing, but it is enough where it's just like maintaining the heat from where there's never the drop off.
I get 2 distinct heats out of this one. I get the Scotch bonnet heat, the classic capsaicin heat.
Yeah.
And then I do get the ginger heat out of it, which are, to me, are 2 very different feelings, sensations.
No, but this one is, I really like this one.
It's a good morning. Another good morning.
Yeah. This is a, it's not like the cap of my heat. I mean, I like Reaper sauces, but this is like a very comfortable heat for me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can manage this and I'm not. Angela's not looking at me, rolling her eyes as I'm like at the counter going, that was good.
I can't stop salivating.
Yeah. It's just like, this is like the edge of like starting to salivate.
This is one like if I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna have a hot sauce on a meal, mm-hmm. like this is my range of like I'm gonna put half a bottle on this, I'm gonna get that good burn, and I'm not gonna be just like frantically like, why did I do that?
Right. Yeah, this one, I feel like this is also a good, that and the pumpkin spice ghost are two holiday ones that you could bring that give very drastically different flavors. So 3 out of 5 on heat, I think that's a solid. They put it as a medium hot heat on their website. Their keywords on their website have a warm, bright, and zesty. But for the score on this one, I had this as an 88.
I had 85.
Okay. Yeah, this one, it's just got a great layered flavor to it. And yeah, all of them just work really well. I'm not a huge, like, heavy ginger kind of can be a little off-putting for me. And so I think it's still well balanced where you're not, if you aren't a big fan of like straight up ginger or heavy ginger, I think you still could enjoy the sauce, but it does have that ginger flavor.
Yeah.
If you don't like doing like a piece of ginger, oh, that was my fact that I couldn't think of, the extra fact. Ginger is often used as the palate cleanser between like items in Japan. Like yeah. They use it as that.
That's why you get it with sushi, pickled ginger.
Yeah. If you don't want to do pickled ginger because you don't like ginger, take just a shot of this. That'll clear the palate.
Yeah. And the sinuses.
And you know, get the salivatory glands like working and salivary. Salvatore is a painter.
I think so. Salivary. It is salivary, yeah.
Salivary glands, salvatory.
Or sweetbreads, depending on if you're a coward.
So you look at the salvatory painting, Salvatore Dali painting, you get the salivary glands going, and then you eat another piece of sushi. The nigiri sushi.
The full experience.
The full horcrux nigimi. Kathy Najimy from Hocus Pocus. We're off the rails. That is a great sauce, though. Again, Queen Majesty website, Facebook, Instagram, all are the same. Queen Majesty hot sauce. Again, Erica Deal, you know, Hot Ones alum. She's been on the Hot Ones show multiple times. Just a great sauce. Both great sauces. You know, two brands that you can't really go wrong with the flavors on that. So yeah, this was, for being off for a while, this is a good episode.
Good one to come back to.
Yeah, a lot of tangents. We'll see. A lot of tangents, but weirdly, not that much longer than an hour. So
yeah, not bad.
Special thanks. Just want to do a couple special thank yous here to Summit 6 Design for any graphic or logo design needs. Reach out to them on Instagram. Also, a special thank you to Lauren from Hot Gram. He was the one that, you know, steered us toward Queen Majesty and kind of really, you know, really wanted us to try it. He was like, even if you don't try it for the podcast, he's like, you really need to try these sauces. And for good reason, we've seen clearly why these sauces are the level that they are. And so thank you for that. And then thank you again for listening. However you listen, we do appreciate you. Follow us on Instagram at the Heat Source Podcast for all updates. Send us a message on there or email us at theheatsourcepod@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or other comments. And we didn't get to talk about it this week, but I think soon we'll have to talk at least a little bit about the Pepper X pepper that came up.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't even talked about that. That happened while we were kind of on a
mustardy
reprieve.
Green thing. It looks wicked.
The hotter they go, the gnarlier they get. So we'll talk about that a little bit more on the next episode, and then we'll get into some more sauce because we are entering into, actually we're in it now, the start of National Pepper Month. Nice. So we'll have to get into some more peppers. So we've done a jalapeno, we've done a scotch bonnet, we have to do a different pepper next week.
Let's do it.
Not pepper X. See you later.
Not yet.
Not yet. See you later.
According to a vocalization study by Sandia National Laboratories, this is what a T-Rex actually sounded like.